I want to talk to you about breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
And what we've been saying is there's different levels of victory that you have. And many times you can walk in victory up to a certain level, but it's kind of a cap. And what I'm suggesting to you is that you do not get comfortable with where you're at. Amen? Because let me tell you what, it's going to take energy and effort for you to break through. There's a place of resistance. And you have to break through that place of resistance. But once you break through, you know what? Many times you'll walk in an increased blessing of the Lord as you did what it took to break through that place of resistance. Many, many, many Christians are walking far below the blessings, the life that God has for them. Here's what Jesus said. Listen, and be careful that you don't just listen to the newest criticism that is on the radio from Christian. You know what? There's some people, and they think they have the gift of discernment, but it's really the gift of criticism. Amen. And they criticize, and they criticize, and they criticize, and everyone else's ministry is wrong. One of the criticisms that's going around in the body of Christ is that God is not a blesser. Listen to me. And that anyone that teaches that God is a blesser is, you know what, outside what they would call mainstream or good theological, biblical understanding. Now, here's the problem with that. 80% of the Bible. You have to take 80% of the Bible out to come up with that theology. Let me just give you one. Here, let's see. Who would be a good person to quote? Oh, yeah, that's good. Let's quote Jesus. How many believe our theology should be based on what Jesus taught?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, so let me throw this one at you. Those of you who think, you know what I mean? I know there's nobody in here. But you know what? But we could get swayed in this dribble. I'm smiling, aren't I? You know what? Jesus said that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Let me give you another version of that passage. It says, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. See, God wants you to have a Jesus exercised. You just look at Jesus' life. Jesus exercised where there was an insufficiency, he provided. Is that not right? Insufficiency what? Insufficiency of healing. Guess what he provided? He didn't get one person and say, oh, wait a minute, no. Leprosy, don't you know? Didn't you hear what the doctor told you about your leprosy? See, any insufficiency, God provides the sufficiency for that. I'll give you another chance to say amen way louder than that. Any insufficiency, God provides that sufficiency for that insufficiency.
Amen.
Amen? And so leprosy, any sickness and disease, blindness, muteness, anything. Somebody couldn't walk. Somebody couldn't put their hand up. You know, the guy had a withered hand. Boom. You know, what about stomach? Is anybody hungry today? You know, God provided, and what does he do? He provides, and then he says, and check this out, and after everyone has all that they can eat, how many like all you can eat? Amen? Somebody, you know, I don't want to say it, but I like all you can eat. Pastor, you like it too much. You're right, I do. Anyway, but I'm just telling you, all you can eat, all you can eat, and after he's done, watch this. This is our Jesus. He says, hey, by the way, pick up everything that's left over. What's he trying to do? You know what I mean? Here's what I believe he's trying to do. He's trying to teach us that God has enough for everyone to have it everything they need, and after, there's leftover. Amen. That's our God. And don't start listening to those people on the radio or TV who are going to tell you that God doesn't want you to have an abundant life. Now listen, if you're going to think abundance means, you know what, that you drive a Rolls Royce, you know what, there are a lot of people driving Rolls Royces who are committing suicide. So I'm not talking about a doctrine of that wealth is going to make you happy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a happy life. Amen? Amen? But neither am I talking about, oh, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. Well, you know what? Can you fill up somebody else's tank of gas? No, I can't, but I'm happy. I ain't talking about that either. I'm talking about a fullness. Amen. That you would be able to, you know what, be happy in your life. Amen. Be able to pay your bills. Amen. Be able to get completely out of debt. Yeah. Oh, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good on that one. Yeah. Completely out of debt. Yeah. But listen, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to break through that point of resistance. I said you're going to have to break through that point of resistance.
Okay.
Some of you are in places where your back is up against a wall.
Oh, there it is. Come on. Come on. There it is. Come on.
Just smile and act like you're the best poker player, okay, in the world. You know what? And you are all jacked up. You're so jacked up, you're up against the wall, you're like, I don't even know. You know what? You came at the right day, because I'm going to teach you how to break through when your back is up against the wall. How you break through? How many know you need to break through? And listen to me, I don't know who this is for. Oh man, I feel like preaching today. This is a good day. I'm just saying, listen to me. Some of you, You're jacked up. I'm smiling, right? You're jacked up, and it's your fault. I thought you said I came at a good day. You did come at a good day. But let's be real. It is your fault. Others, you got your back up against the wall, and you got your back up against the wall, and it has nothing to do with anything except you made bad choices in your life. Okay. For others, you're back up against the wall, and it had to do with you. It didn't have to do with the choices you made. You look at it and say, "Oh my goodness, I made good choices, and I still got my back up against the wall." Here's what I'm telling you. Because here's what we think. We think God will get us out of our mess, except the ones who it was their fault. And then we think God is a punitive God. Look at your neighbor and tell them, God is not a punitive God. He is not. Now, you might need to make some good choice. It might take you a while to get out of your mess. But that's not God's... God's not like you. How many know sometimes we got stuff going on and we're going to forgive somebody, but we want them to grovel a little bit. You know what I mean? God's not that way. He's quick. Notice, watch this. I think didn't Paul do a great job last week? I think Paul mentioned this. I don't know. Maybe it was T.D. Jakes. I get him and Paul mixed up all the time. But I think it was Paul. But notice this. When the prodigal son, it was Paul, when the prodigal son recognizes where he's at and he turns back to God, that the father runs to the son. That's a picture of who God is. He's not punitive. So whether you are up against a wall because, and it really doesn't have anything to do with you, I've got new, you didn't do it, it's not your fault, I got good news for you. You can get out of that mess. Amen. Or, but this is really important, or maybe it has everything to do with you. God says, I'll get you out of your mess too. You ready to learn some things? Amen. So, let's turn to Chronicles. Hey guys, do I got power of this or not? Because I switched it and it didn't. Wait a minute. No, it's not fancy. It's not doing what I'm. Okay, okay. I got power. Okay. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20, verse 1, look what it says. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites. Woo! We got a lot of people here. Came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you beyond the sea. What's he saying? Let me paraphrase. Jehoshaphat, we're all jacked up. We got our backs up against the wall. Look at verse 3. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. My first point, I want you to understand this. We've got to focus on God, not the problem. Somebody say, focus on God, not the problem. See, here's the reality. Here's what you have to recognize. The storm is going to come. Look at your neighbor and say, the storm is going to come. You say, Pastor, that's not good news. No, listen, it might not be good news, but it's biblical. God doesn't say, you know what, for some people the storm's not going to come and some people the storm is going to come. That's not what he says. Here's what he says. The storm's going to come to everyone. The choice is how you react and how you prepare for the storm that is coming. Jehoshaphat is messed up. He's got all these people coming against him. And what he does is he does the right thing. He turns his face towards God. You want to get out of your problem? You got your back up against the wall? Here's what you need to do. You need to focus on God, not the problem. Don't tell your God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. You're focusing on the right thing. Listen to me. Listen to me. When we focus, this is so deep. This is so deep. Listen to this. When we focus on God, we're focusing on the solution. How many know God has the answer? How many know God is powerful enough to fix your problem? When you focus on God, you're focusing on the solution because He is the solution. Catching this? This is deep. Are you ready? When you focus on the problem, this is deep. You're focusing on the problem. I told you it was deep. Amen. Somebody recognize how crazy insanity that is. Let me sink. Here. I'm watering. You know what I mean? Let me sit there and let it sink in a little bit. You know, for those of you who are focused on the problem, you focus on the problem, you focus on the problem, you focus. Here's your problem. Your problem is when you focus on the problem, you're focusing on the problem. Does the problem ever solve the problem?
No.
I like what David Cook says. He says, the more I focus on my problem, the bigger my problem seems to get. See, your problem doesn't have the power to fix your problem, but God has the power to fix your problem. That's why it's imperative, if you have your back up against the wall, stop looking at the problem. Ooh, I messed up. And we speak this chunk. I like what T.D. Jakes said recently. He said that when you're talking to someone, or when you're talking and you hear complaining coming out, recognize the spirit that is. Okay, I'm going to slap you around a little bit in love. Listen to me. I'm going to get real serious. I said something funny to now I'm going to really slap you, okay? When you're doing that, you're really hurting yourself. And you're making your life worse and the life of all those around you worse. You need to start paying attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Because your words matter. You want me to prove to you your words matter? Jesus says, by your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. We think God's, ooh, you said a bad word. You said the F word. I condemn you. It's not what he's saying. And I do not advocate you saying the F word for clarity's sake. Here's what he is saying. That the, I showed it to you before, that the control of the earth is given to the sons of men. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says from your mouth should not come both blessings and cursings. You have the ability. You have been, listen to me, somebody listen to me. You have been made in the image of God. God told Adam and Eve, you take dominion in this earth. He's telling mankind, take dominion in this earth. And what he expects is people who are Christians to go into their realm, into this earth, and bring in the kingdom of God. How do we do that? We do that by blessing, by being a blessing to people. And when all that's coming out of your mouth, or when 70% of what's coming out of it, listen, here, let's do a test. How many liked it in junior high when the teacher would give you a pop quiz? Amen? Okay. You didn't like that. How many didn't like that? Right? Be honest. How many did not like that? Okay. So that part you won't like. Here's the good news. How many like when you were able to grade your own paper? Amen? Some are like, well, that sounds wrong, but what I meant was, it says A, but what I meant was B. How many know some of you gave yourself way more grace than you deserved? Amen? How many liked it? I'm just asking. How many liked it when they said, pass the paper to the person in front of you? Oh my goodness, I hated that. You know what? Because the person in front of me got a smile, and then they turned around and looked, had fangs coming out. Ah! I'm serious. I hated when they did that. Here's my point. I'm going to let you grade your own paper, okay? Okay. And try to be honest. And I'm not asking, don't say it out loud, but I'm asking, what kind of grade would you get? What's coming out of your mouth most of the time? Give yourself a percentage. Are you a 30% complainer? Are you a 50% complainer? You know, are you a 90% complainer? Pastor, I don't even know. Can I be honest with you? Most of you don't even know what you are. Most people, you know what, have no idea. And if you, here, just do it today. Here, I'll give you another. This is all free. Wow, look at your neighbor and say, this is good today. Okay, this is all free. Listen, here's what I'm saying. Here's what you can do. Today, you know what, you just monitor yourself from now. You start right now. And till 12 o'clock tonight, you know what, I want you to start paying attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Some of you are going to be real quiet today. Pastor, I don't know why. I just decided to be quiet today. Hallelujah. How many know that's okay? How many know quiet is better than... Here, listen. Because what you're doing is your... guys in the back, we're going to go there. Go to James. Let's go to James. We're going to... James chapter 3. Guys in the back, James chapter 3. And let's go to... start with 8. Chapter 8. Okay. Verse 8. James chapter 3, verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. It is a unruly evil. See, Pastor... No, man, I can't do it. Not my fault. I'm not reading the Bible says you can't do it. Well, if the Bible says you can't do it, then why does the Bible tell you that you should not speak out of your mouth cursings, but only blessings? Let me tell you what. The Bible never tells you to do something that you can't do. What's the Bible saying is my first point, that you need God's help. You need to focus on the solution, not the problem. No man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. God made you in His image. That's what the Bible says. It says it in all kinds of different places. But James repeats this truth. We're made in the image of God. And because we're made of the image of God, he expects us to behave like he behaves. Watch this. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Here, you answer the question. Does it? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grape fruit bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both fresh water, both salt water and fresh water. Watch this. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, you are Christians. You are followers of Christ. You have been made in the image of God. You're in His family. So, here's what he's saying. You're a fig tree. So stop producing olives. See, you know what we have to do? We have to identify with who we are. Somebody say, I'm a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, then what you're designed to do is be a blesser. You ought to be a blesser. You ought to be a blessing looking for something to happen. You know what I mean? I'm a bless, 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 I'm a bless. I am a blesser. You've got to make up your mind that your attitude is going to be right. You got to make up your mind that God is for you, not against you. You got to make up your mind that, you know what, that you are the head, not the tail. You got to make up your mind that your best days are in front of you, not behind you. You got to get out of the mode of this won't work. Oh, look at my enemies. Oh, look at I'm so. Oh, I got my back up against the wall. That's not what Jehoshaphat did. He said, no. I can go to God. I can turn to God. God's going to get me out of my mess. You listen, we have every reason to be optimistic, and we have no reason to be pessimistic. Amen. I'm going to give you a way better chance to say amen. We have no reason to be pessimistic, and we have every reason to be optimistic. Amen. You know what? Paul said it like this. You know what? If God is for me, I mean, that's his attitude. You know, you it's written, you know, so you can't, you know, we don't have the video of it. Boy, if we had a video of it, he'd be like, I'll tell you what, I don't sweat you. You know, I got all kinds of people, you know what, these people don't like me, and these people don't like me, and these people, man, we live in a society, you know what, I mean, if you don't get, you know, you make a comment on the internet, if you don't get 58 likes, you're like, ooh, you know, I'm all offended. Hey, we need to toughen up a bit. I remember I heard one lady say, she said, you know what? We got too many puff-puff Christians in the body of Christ. No substance. No, let me tell you what. God is for you. He's on your side. You have every reason to be optimistic. You know what? To be honest with you, some of the reasons why you're so jacked up, we said it earlier, a lot of, if truth being told, a lot of reasons we're in the mess we are just bad choices that we made. And the good news about that is, hey, how do you get out? This is deep, you ready? Stop making those bad choices. Stop listening to your flesh all the time. You know, do this, smoke that, drink that. You know what? Sleep with her. Sleep with him. Ooh la la. No, not ooh la la. Yuck! See, how many know you got the spirit speaking and you got the flesh speaking? And the problem is when we listen to the flesh too much. Oh, now we don't hear no amens. We listen to the flesh too much. A flesh is going to get you in a heap of mess. Here's the good news. There's a good life that God has for you. How do you walk in that? You just start being obedient. Just do what the Spirit says do. I'm not saying you got to beat the flesh. Paul says, I beat the flesh. You mean sometimes you got to slap it down. Say, no, you know what? You're not going to eat that. You're not going to smoke that. You're not going to, you know what, sleep with her, sleep with him. You know what? You're going to honor God. Can I tell you what? If you start walking, you know what? In the ways of God, you're going to start to have a life that you never had before. Amen. See, let me just expose Satan for a minute. Satan is a liar. So let me tell you what Satan do. Satan will tempt you and say, ooh, isn't this good? Isn't this good? And he's lying to you. And you know it. Because once you partake, then you start to walk in the ramifications. How many of you, I'm asking, you can raise your hand to this. How many of you have been fooled by Satan? He's told you that this is good, and after you ate it, you recognize that is awful. Amen. Come on, raise your hand. See, this week, let me tell you this week. This week, you know what? My wife made, you know what, we're trying to eat more healthy. And you know what? And how many like tortilla chips? Amen. I love tortilla. Come on. Okay, tortilla chips. And so I don't know, my wife got on the internet, listened to a liar. Amen. I said, this person was lying. And they were like, here, you can make this chip. It's low fat, low what else was it? Low what? Low carb chip. It's delicious. You know what I mean? So my wife spends all this time making these low-carb chips. And then I, you know what, got to taste one of them. These people, I'm serious, these people should be prosecuted for taste offense. I mean, it was so, I'm not talking about bad, I'm talking about absolute. How in the world could somebody taste that? I mean, you'd have to have so much guacamole on that. There's not enough guacamole in the world to despise that chip. I'm just telling you. Ask my wife after the service, but it was bad. Okay, now you can tell me, how many of you have been told a lie of Satan and you believed it and you tasted the chip and it was absolutely awful? Okay, can I tell you another story? My wife, last week, she found some dip, and it was a yogurt dip, and it had yogurt, dill, what else did it have in it?
Garlic
and lemon juice. So she loves it. She's eating it, and she said, "Drew, try this dip." And so I tried the dip. It tasted good for about a second and a half. I'm serious. I'm thinking, oh, this. And then all of a sudden, it's like it just slapped me. You know what I mean? And I, this is a true story. And I tasted that garlic and that dill. And garlic, imagine, garlic and dill in a yogurt. It's like... And I was like, oh, this isn't it. And then all of a sudden it just slapped me. And I was like, oh, what? And it was like she did it. I was like, what do you do? So bad. It was awful. I'm just saying. Pastor, I thought you were talking about Jehoshaphat. You seem to get off today, okay? We'll get back to him. Next week we'll get back to him. But listen, here's what I'm saying. We've all experienced that as far as, you know what, and it might last longer than a minute and a half. But I'm here to tell you, Satan has nothing for you but destruction. God said it, we quoted it earlier, it's John 5:10. Jesus said, I've come to give you a full life. Amen. But Satan comes only but one thing, to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what we have to do? We have to do what we'll end here. We'll have to do what Jehoshaphat did. You know what he did? He had his back up. You know, listen, some of you have your back up against the wall. And God knew you would. And God knew that I had a message for you today. This message isn't my message. This message is your message from God. Can God use people? Absolutely. He's used them. All the whole Bible is full of people that God used. Many of them exactly, you know what, in my position to be a communicator of what God has to say to people. And God is saying this to you. Turn to me. I hear God saying this. I told these people. There's guys, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you that you're here. But I've got to give you the message that God has for you. And here's what I hear God saying. There's way too much a casual. I'm talking about people who go to church. There's way too much a casualness in how you serve me, how you worship me. You know what? I'll come. If I got nothing else going on, I'll come. And that's not how Jesus treated you. Jesus, when he asked the Father, hey, Dad, I'm just saying, is there any other way we can get these people restored to you and I don't have to go to the cross? And the Father told him, you know what? The hardest thing that a father could tell a son, there's no other way. Not only, son, do you have to die, but you have to take, you know what, all of angels' sin, and you have to pay the price for angel's sin. Amen. And Brian's sin and Tony's sin and Drew's sin. Amen. It's not just death. It's all our sins on him you have to take. And that is the only way that angel is going to be able to be restored. So son, it's up to you. And the son said, I'm going to do that. And then the Bible has the tenacity to say, let me tell you about God. That's what I expect from you too. Amen. See, there's this teaching going around, and it's prevalent in the body of Christ. We're gonna do it before we close. We're gonna give you a chance to come into the family of God. If you're not a believer, if you don't know where you'd go if you died today. I want you to come into the family of God. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But it's just such a casualness. You know what? And God says, no, no, no. You have your back up against the wall. And I'll deliver you. But you've got to follow me. You've got to stop doing all your stuff your way. Because that's why most of the time you're in the mess you're in, because of those things. Do you hear what the message of God is? And that is to somebody who's not even in the body of Christ. But that's to people who've been saved. Have you been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 10 months? You know what? Do you not recognize what this church is? Do you not recognize? I'm not trying to get egotistical here. Do you not recognize the anointing on the preaching that takes place in this church? There's just a casualness. And God says, no, 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 no. You know what? Some of you don't even recognize how you have your back up against the wall, because you're just totally spiritually unintuned. And your family's falling apart. And you don't even recognize what's going on. You're falling apart. And God knows you're here today on purpose. And God says to you, just do what Jehoshaphat did. Just turn to me. Just turn to me. But be passionate in your turning to me. Don't be casually. Stop being a casual Christian. You be passionate like I was passionate for you. How many say, Pastor, that message is for me? Raise your hand if that message. Father, I thank you for the hands that are up. I pray that we would stop our casualness and get passionate for you. May we be all out for you. I thank you for it in Jesus Christ. I pray, amen. And then you can put your hands down. And then one more thing I want to say before Tamara comes up. We don't like to end a service that we don't give people an opportunity to come into the family of God. So if you want to come into the family of God, I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you just to pray it right there where you're at. You know what? Just right there. Repeat this after me. God, I need your help. Come into my heart. I make you Lord. I don't want to make all my decisions anymore. I want you to be the decision maker. Thank you. I love you. Amen.